Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio. This is Dan and Stephanie Burke, and you're listening to your radio haven of rest,
your hermitage of the heart,
your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints. Today, a particular saint, a great saint, John Paul II. This is a second show in the series we did recently on a miracle that happened in Poland.
He's in-house, by the way.
John is here.
Yeah,
John Paul II. It's not like right to call him
St. John Paul II.
He's right in front of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. First class relic because God loves us. And because
God loves everyone.
No, he loves us more than most people.
That's not true.
But but this great saint has decided to join in our mission.
He has.
Because
that is very obvious.
And if you want to, if you didn't see the last show, you want to learn how that happened. It's so clear because it isn't, you don't just get a relic of John Paul II.
No.
And it was really by a miracle that it happened. So we're grateful to have him among us and to continue this conversation. So as I don't remember if you picked up this book. You brought it to, to Poland.
No, it was Father Jim's. Father Jim had it with him.
Okay, so the priest.
He handed it to you. You're reading it, and then I swiped it and read the whole thing.
You swiped it from me, right, which is really actually a common problem. But so interesting. The book, you know, a meditation that John Paul II wrote, which has only recently been it was published posthumously. Which is kind of a mystery in and of itself, a little bit. Father Jim, our priest on the trip, had a copy of that. You grabbed it, and it really kind of lit up your brain, mind, and heart.
Yeah, I read a little bit on the trip. Of course, we had 50 pilgrims with us. We're moving constantly. We're walking in the footsteps of Saint John Paul II and Saint Faustina and the other saints in Poland and it's pretty exhausting. People think, you know, pilgrimages are a spiritual vacation. They're not.
Not if they're done right.
Anyway. Not if they're done right. And there was so much spiritually going on that I was having difficulty like really entering into it. But when I returned, I still had the copy with me. I have to give it back to Father Jim. And so one morning in prayer, it came back to me. So I picked it up and I read it cover to cover in 30 minutes. It's a very small little volume. And the title of it is Givenness.
Yeah.
Givenness.
And is it the John Paul II Institute?
No. You would ask me that.
Okay. Well, people can look it up. Givenness by St. John Paul II. If you look that up, you'll find it.
It's Totus Tuus Press, I believe. And I want to make sure that we'll put that in the show notes later.
Okay.
But it's a teeny tiny little book about the size of a checkbook. And this beautiful givenness, this word that St. John Paul II started to ruminate on, like he was speaking to his spiritual director about someone who had been brought into his life that he was, I don't know, dealing with, trying to serve or whatever. And the spiritual director says to him, perhaps God wills to give that person to you. Perhaps God wills to give that person to you. And it's interesting. This has been ruminating with me because in the work that we both do, but in particular, how I serve as a spiritual director and go through healing prayer with individuals and really love them and serve them one-on-one just all day long, most days that we're here. And I had started to use this word entrusts. The Lord entrusts these souls to me, or Lord, please, please have mercy on those that you have entrusted to us. And that started ruminating in me. Probably a year and a half, 2 years ago. And it was beautiful to find out that St. John Paul the second actually speaks directly about the entrustment of souls to us. This gift of givenness, you are a gift to me and I'm a gift to you, and God has entrusted you to me.
And the power of the reality of that whole relationship is that it isn't just me and plus you.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
It's me and you and God, mm-hmm. which is part of his rumination. Mm-hmm. It's me and you and God, which means that our relationship is a divine appointment.
Right.
And it actually means that every relationship
is a divine appointment.
Is a divine appointment.
In some form or fashion, no matter what.
Yeah. And when I first read through it, honestly, it didn't strike me. But then I read a Communio article this morning and it really started to come out. And I went, oh, I get this. This makes sense. It's why I almost every time we have a waiter, I ask their name. Mm-hmm. You know, it's why we had that beautiful, in part why we had that beautiful encounter, because you and I both have this instinct, though we've never really talked about this.
Right.
We have this instinct of, oh, there's everywhere. I think you have this naturally. I think I do too. But I think it's not unique to us. It's present in everyone who's walking as an authentic disciple of Jesus. I believe, I could be wrong about that. It might be overstated, but I do believe it's just this sensitivity to the sacredness of the other.
Mm-hmm. No matter where you encounter them.
Yeah. The soul that is next, that's in front of me, is there by divine appointment. It's mm-hmm. not a chance reality.
Where they're the image of the living God, mm-hmm. right? They were created in the image of the living God. He willed that person to be from all time for a relationship with him. And at some point they have crossed paths with us to love and serve, mm-hmm. to see, to speak a word into, to receive a word from them, whatever it is that he's designed for that moment, that divine appointment, is eternal. It's forever eternal. Each soul is eternal. Each appointment is eternal. It has a real impact on our souls, on the souls of the others, and it resonates, it ripples out into eternity. I think this is something that we don't often consider, is that every relationship that we cross paths with, so we think about our spouses, if we're religious, it's the sisters in our community, the brothers in our community. If it's priests, it's all of his parishioners, his other brother priests. It's us and our children, each couple in their relationship and the bearing forth of children and all of that, that it has an eternal purpose and design, and it has a ripple effect into eternity based on how we treat them,
right.
how we receive them, how we love them, and how we recognize God in and through them.
You know, it's part of another truth that we are doing formation on periodically in Apostoli VA, is this truth that God is at work either causing or allowing all things, but he's at work in all things. That's kind of the macro truth.
All is grace.
The micro truth is in relationships, in that, and I think a lot of times when people are looking for God, they're looking for an encounter with him, looking to know him, they treat that as something that has nothing to do with their relationships. Mm-hmm. And they actually see relationships as a nuisance or as a barrier or as an obstacle. And I am like as guilty as sin on that. I mean, I could just struck me. I just got an image of somebody I've done that to in my life, mm-hmm. even as a devout Christian. And I probably need to take it to confession, but when we recognize that every encounter, every person is given by God, we recognize God, mm-hmm. right? We see him. Mm-hmm. You know, our relationship has been so profoundly healing to me. You prayed a prayer, if you want to say what it was.
Yeah. After we had met, and then right after we were married, I was so profoundly grateful that this prayer rose from my heart. And I said, Lord, please love Dan through me.
Yeah.
Please heal him through me. I had this sense of, Lord, pour yourself out upon me, and through me, pour it out unto my husband, and heal him, restore him, bless him. I even prayed that this morning, by the way, when we were in adoration. And you came in, I'd been there for a little bit, and I was just so profoundly grateful for you. And I was praying, Lord, bless him for being here. Just pour yourself out upon him, give him everything he needs. So that was something that I prayed at the beginning of our marriage.
Well, and it certainly happened. And I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have understood at the beginning what that all means. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, for growing up in the context I did, relationships were pretty transactional. And love was only on the basis of your performance. And in my case, there was no such thing as a good performance, you know, in my home.
And you are only as good as your last mistake.
You are a defect, and you're going to show me again today what a defect you are, and I'm going to pound the crap out of you because of it. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's
devastating.
Yeah, it, and I'm not alone in that. I mean, it's crazy how many people we've met, who grew up in some similar, like, could use that sentence to describe the radically different context, male, female, ages, you know, periods of time, could relate that, you know, but, and I'm not saying my parents were only bad. They weren't only bad.
There was a lot of circumstances around all of that.
Yeah. They both had terrible, you know, role models and all that. So I don't hold them, you know, I don't hold them in derision because of all that, but what happened with you and I is we purposed at the beginning of our relationship, and I was dead serious about it, as you know, Christ is going to be at the center of this relationship, or there is no relationship.
Right.
That was the fundamental pathway to healing. But then this prayer that you prayed, which is really reflected in this, in John Paul's meditation here, was in fact the means of a huge amount of my own healing.
Yeah.
And it does, what that doesn't mean, folks listening, was Stephanie, we got married. Stephanie was a perfect angel, and and she fluttered about, you know, spreading holy pixie dust on me from God, and I was healed. No. We were both a mess, and we both hurt each other constantly. But the desire, the giving, being an authentic disciple of Jesus, coupled with a desire to follow him and to serve one another, just brought about a healing that I never would have told you was possible. Never would have told you. So we're at a break. So when we get back from the break, we want to continue this topic of what does it mean to see God in the context of the relationship of another. So we'll be right back. Friends, a new course at the Abel Institute, Sacramentals and the Liturgy of the Hours and Devotions by Christopher Carsons. He's the professor, and he is absolutely phenomenal. He is a blast. He believes from the head of top of his head to the toes, end of his toes on his feet. So you'll learn how sacramentals extend the grace of sacraments, liturgy of the hours, validates the grace of the daily Eucharist through the hours of the day, and devotional and private prayer continue to sanctify moments of life and how that happens. Go to avila-institute.org to check out this new course, avila-institute.org. This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. And today we're talking about divine intimacy, really,
in a
human relational context.
Right.
But divine, because God is at the center.
Yeah. I want to read from the book of Genesis, because this is where St. John Paul II starts to draw on this idea of givenness, is the gift of others that the Lord entrusts to us and us to others. In the book of Genesis, in the last day of creation, God made man and woman, he created them. That's Genesis 1, 26, 28. He created. In this instance, this means even more profoundly that God gave them to each other mutually. He gave man the womanhood of the woman who is of his kind, a helpmate like unto him, and also gave man to the woman. So it wasn't just, oh, here's a gift for you. As the world would say, here's a plaything for you. Here's someone to be used and to abuse or whatever. He gave her as a gift to him. And then he gives him to her as a gift, right? And that was what I was reflecting on in our marriage, that you were a gift to me. I knew, and I remember even thinking that, and I'd never read any of this. You gave him to me. He's a gift. You've given me the gift of Dan. And it was so profound. And you were, I even remember, this, you were very, very sick and you were right on the verge of pneumonia. And I remember lying next to you and I had my head on your chest and you were having difficulty breathing. And I was listening to your heartbeat. And I prayed to God, don't let it stop. Don't ever let it stop. Just this profound sense of your heartbeat within you, the gift that you were to me, and that he would relieve your suffering and sustain you in that suffering. It's very, very profound to me. Since the very beginning, man has been given to the other by God. Man has been given to the other from the beginning. Man as man feels lonely among the creatures. So he's made all these creatures, lions and bears and tigers, oh my. And he feels lonely among them that are not of his kind. And as such is confronted by a being who is like unto him. In the woman whom he receives from God, he finds a helpmate like himself. We must understand the term helpmate in its most basic meaning. Woman is given to man so he can understand himself.
Yeah.
Woman is given to man so he can understand himself.
That line did stand out to me.
And reciprocally, man is given to woman so that she may understand herself.
That one really stood out to me because what's been beautiful about our relationship, because Christ is the center and we're striving to that reality, the most important reality of our life, agreed upon mutually. You mirror in particular, and I don't like this, but it is very powerful, is from the day I met you, I only wanted you to know how wonderful you are and how much that you deserve to be loved and cherished, because you weren't by your own father. You weren't by, in past relationships. And I wanted that. And the thing that caused me to change the most was seeing pain that I caused in you, So because even though you irritated me at times, and you still do, I mean, at least once a day, even though you did that, I didn't want you to suffer because of that, but the gift of God being in the middle of our relationship was you mirrored back to me my brokenness, not on purpose. And in fact, you learned how to be a mirror without hitting back, if you will, and which is even more effective.
Not that you ever struck me.
No, I never did. But
the hitting back as far as the conflict or whatever it is.
Learned that, which is, by the way, it's something you really, I don't know that you could teach it. It's so hard to people, but it's one of the reasons St. Paul says, if you want to convert your husband, be holy in silence, because it's way more powerful when you hurt someone and they don't retaliate, if you will, and you're just left with the damage you've done.
Right.
Wow. Way more powerful.
Yes.
It just doesn't feel great coming on the other side. So in that sense, God has used you to reveal my brokenness to me, which means then he is inviting me to healing in that reality. Mm-hmm. So I hurt you. I see the rose, the flower close. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, why did it close? And a lot of times I'm like, I have no idea I did anything.
Yeah.
But that's because I grew up as just a total Neanderthal, you know, so not, I wasn't taught how to treat women either in like as an example at all, or by word or anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So I learned a Christian concept of self-giving to you, or even just existing with you from the pain. And that may sound really negative, but it's a very powerful.
No,
tool.
I think it's a profound realization. In fact, I've coached many directees, many couples about this, is when in particular husbands are struggling. And we, because so many times women convert first, that didn't happen in our case, but this profound sense of, wow, if we can be holy and silent, offering that, offering our suffering to the Lord for the sake of our husbands, in this case, the man hurting the wife, as there were moments when you did, and I hurt you as well, mm-hmm. many, many times. But when we can do that and offer that suffering to the Lord for their sake, mm-hmm. for their healing, for their conversion, the Lord's going to work through the other. He's going to work through it. And this idea of this mirror of, wow, if we can stay in the relationship, stay in the Lord, in the midst of our sufferings, our brokenness, our conflicts, or whatever it is, then the Lord does in fact reveal us to ourselves, which is, woman is given to man so that he can understand himself, mm-hmm. which is what you were talking about.
Totally.
And women can understand themselves, or right. I can understand myself in the context of that. They are to mutually affirm each other's humanity, awed by its dual richness. It's just beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. This dual reality of the awe of God's creation. Wow. You know, I love this human before me, and in my brokenness, I've hurt him. And I see that, and it convicts my heart, doesn't condemn me. And if I am a woman of goodwill, if I'm deeply rooted in the Lord, in my prayer and my oneness with him, then that can't help but bring about a moment of conversion.
Sure.
Deeper conversion of, Lord, I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to offend you, Lord. Please root this out of me. And we need that. And the only way that that can come about is in the context of relationship, in this communion with another soul, with God at the center. That's really the only way that we can truly get to know who we are in relationship to God and to one another.
Yeah, just a brief point. You know, Paul did say to the women in the New Testament, if your husband's unbelieving and you are a believer, you know, win him over in silence. And the unbelieving is on a scale, right? You know, can be from zero belief to some, to a lot, but not enough, whatever. Mm-hmm. But that, the only reason he gave that admonition to women, in my opinion, is not because it's only for women. It's just because women, as you noted, typically convert first, mm-hmm. and are more open spiritually. But I think it equally applies to men, that we don't retaliate. One of the things about marriage ministry that we do with Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreats, and then some of the coaching we do, is getting the other to see the reality of all of this,
right.
and to stop the striking back, which breaks the healing cycle.
Yes.
The moment you lash back, you really are dumping water on the fire that God wants to heal you with. I don't know, right. but maybe that's not a great way of saying it, but you're pushing God out with sin.
Right. It becomes self-reliance and,
yeah.
You know, my will be done, not
vengeance.
Your will be done. Vengeance, rebellion, revenge,
yeah.
all of that. Right.
Yeah. So learning how understanding this whole reality of God is present, one of the most powerful truths in the Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreat that we work to get people to understand in a broader context like we're talking about today is that you have the spouse you have because you need the spouse you have for your salvation.
Right.
Which means your spouse in all of their brokenness was given to you by God.
To reveal you to yourself.
To reveal you to yourself.
And vice versa, that you might come to a greater conversion, holiness, surrender to God and his will, and to allow him to heal you, to restore you, and to love your spouse in and through you.
And, you know, as always, the qualifier, we're not talking about abuse. We're talking about just normal difficulties between husband and wife. Or abnormal, but not that. Mm-hmm. But so we're coming to the end of this show, and we have touched a thimble full of this wisdom.
Right.
So, but we do have an ending. So do us a favor, would you? And we are asking you personally, so many of you who subscribe to our YouTube page, so many who watch our YouTube videos don't subscribe or like and don't share. And we need your help in getting the word out. So please like, subscribe, tell people about us, share it with your family. Mm-hmm. We've had issues with the algorithm in the past. We're starting to break those issues, but we need your help in order to do that. If this show is helpful to you, share it with your priest, your family, Facebook, Instagram, whatever.
Your
husband, your wife,
other couples, your kids, your adult kids.
Yeah.
All of that. And then also subscribe to spiritualdirection.com. to know where and when all of our events are, including our marriage retreats.
Very good.
Okay. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.